It just doesn't work. Stupid Twitter. Okay, that's fine. Let's talk. Let's talk a little bit about charter schools. We had the Minister of Education on just a few moments ago. Untapped potential for education diversity. Policy lessons from Alberta charter schools by Paige T. McPherson. I think I asked her before. Is it McPherson or McPherson? Paige, how are you?
I'm doing well, thanks. And it's McPherson.
You're a McPherson, not a McPherson. You probably don't have many people in Alberta asking you about the pronunciation. Seems pretty clear. You and I spoke last about your upcoming relocation in Nova Scotia. You'll be working with the Canadian Taxpayers Federation, or at least that's what we were last discussing. Is that still the plan?
That's still the plan, yeah. In just a couple of weeks, actually, I'm starting up as Atlantic Director for the Canadian Taxpayers Federation. My family and I recently relocated here, had a baby, wanted to raise him here in Nova Scotia, and so here we are.
Nice. And what is it about charter schools that got you interested enough to write a paper for the Atlantic Institute for Market Studies?
Well, it's a really interesting model. I mean, you just had, as you mentioned, Minister Churchill on. We're always talking about schools. You know, we see sort of published test scores from schools, see that Nova Scotia students are below the national average in math. You see, you know, that story every now and again, most recently this year. We always hear about tension with the teachers union because there are cost constraints that the Nova Scotia government is facing. And the reason I got interested in charter schools is because when you're hearing about these issues facing the education system, charter schools actually offer a really interesting model of school delivery that solves a lot of these problems. And it's been active in Alberta for the last over 20 years. And so I wrote a report for the Atlantic Institute for Market Studies AIMS here, looking at how the charter school model has worked in Alberta, which is quite successfully, and the potential for Atlantic Canadian provinces and Ontario, where the education systems are very one-size-fits-all, and maybe could learn a thing or two from this charter school model.
All right, buzzwords. I got to push pause for just a second. What is a charter school?
Well, a charter school is a public school, but it's independently run, and it's 100% funded by the government for parents. They are nonprofit schools. They each have their own board of director. They are non-religious, and they're public schools. And the reason they're called charter schools is because each school has a unique charter, which is the unique education delivery model that it offers. So it might be a school that offers Indigenous programming, Indigenous-focused education. It might be a school that focuses on music-focused education. It could be a basketball school. It could be a unique educational philosophy like Waldorf education. Whatever it is, it's completely open. The model allows for really any type of educational model. But the fact that what makes it a charter school is that it has a unique educational outreach that is specific to that school, which is called its charter.
Now, it's one thing to have children who are homeschooled. It's another to have them in a private school. So what are the outcomes for charter schools? Do they follow the same curriculum as the Department of Education in Alberta as any public school student?
They do. They have to teach the Alberta curriculum, but they can teach it with some sort of unique form of outreach, as I mentioned. So let's say if your kid, is going to school, but he's just not that interested in school, but he really loves sports. Well, a charter school could focus specifically on sports to engage your kid in going to school, to actually get him interested in going to school and more engaged in classroom learning. But they do teach the Alberta curriculum, and if they were here, they could teach the Nova Scotia curriculum too. It's interesting, you know, that you bring up homeschools or private schools, because for a lot of parents, those things just aren't options. The interesting thing about school choice, having the ability to send your kid to whichever school you think is the best educational fit for him or her, rich people always have that option. There's always school choice for rich people. There's always school choice for people who can afford to send their kids to private school or who can homeschool. In many cases, that involves tremendous sacrifices from parents. You know, I say sort of loosely rich people, but it might involve making tremendous sacrifices in order to do that. But for a lot of people, those funds simply aren't available. Those extra funds, even if it's a small amount of funds, just aren't available to be able to send your kid to one of these unique forms of education. So then what happens is your kid ends up attending the local public school in your area, and Nova Scotia students are strictly bound by catchment area, which students in many other Canadian provinces are not. And so we know that education is not one size fits all, but not all kids have access to these unique schools that might better fit their learning needs. And so charter schools offer a really interesting policy model to allow kids to attend schools that better fit their educational needs.
We're joined this afternoon, Paige McPherson. She's the author of a report for the Atlantic Institute about market studies, lessons from Alberta's charter schools. She's also the incoming, you're going to be the Atlantic director?
That's exactly right.
All right. So let's, again, if we're going to talk about curriculum, we're going to talk about, issues that have come up in the news. There's a challenge underway in Ontario over changes to sex education. So would a charter school then, if you say they can offer different focus education that maybe they don't agree with some of what's being taught, will they be able to move outside of that or perhaps teach something different?
Charter schools in Alberta, the way that it works is that they do have to teach the curriculum. So in Ontario, the sex education is part of the curriculum, which means that they would have to teach that in schools if, let's say, Ontario introduced the charter school model. Curriculum design is sort of a separate issue. Charter schools can teach the curriculum through a different lens, and they can have some different focus areas, but they do have to make sure that they're still teaching what are, I guess, considered the core concepts. So math, English, they still do standardized tests to make sure that charter schools are keeping pace and with other schools and other students. And I guess, you know, sex education would be considered part of that, those core concepts that students would have to learn because they're in the curriculum. So in that case, no, it wouldn't say, okay, well, you can be exempt from this part of the curriculum or exempt from that. At least that's not what the Alberta experience has been. But I brought up standardized tests. I just want to mention, you know, something that was sort of a main finding in the report, which is that charter school students scored better on tests, standardized tests, studying the core concepts like social studies, English, math, consistently better than any other type of school in the province. So that includes private schools that charge tuition. Charter schools consistently scored better than even private school students, public school students, francophone school students in Alberta. And in Alberta, there's a lot more diversity in general in terms of what types of schools you can send your kids to. So the fact that charter schools stand on top of the pack is actually pretty impressive. And that's one of the benefits that if you were to bring charter school to Nova Scotia, that it would bring to the province, which is that the test scores could be significantly better. And student outcomes, of course, student test scores are just testing how students are doing, how much they understand the material. You know, that leads to how successful they'll be after they graduate, how better prepared they are for the future. And so charter schools could bring that that big benefit to Nova Scotia if the government decided to implement the model.
As mentioned, our guest is Paige McPherson, author of this report about charter schools. And you address this in the report, elitism and equity. We just recently saw the governance model for schools in Nova Scotia changed. No more elected school board representation. And that had some people critical of government saying, you know, those students most at risk, perhaps their parents aren't able to lobby the schools and to make times with, you know, meeting with principals and other stakeholders. What about the idea or at least the thought that charter school is a private school, or maybe they're going to turn away some potential students because for whatever reason they choose?
Right. So they're actually by law, although they sometimes receive this criticism, charter schools are by law required to accept any students that apply if they have the space. So just like any other school, they're obviously bound by some space constraints. But other than that, they do have to accept any student that applies. And while that criticism is sometimes thrown at charter schools in Alberta and in the U.S. and in other countries where they operate, like the U.K., New Zealand, in fact, charter schools, it's just a model that can be used for anything. So charter schools in Alberta, you know, there are some that focus on academic enrichment, some that focus on music education, as I mentioned, but there are others that focus on, there's one that specifically focuses on students that have gone through mental health struggles or experienced trauma and have had interrupted learning careers because of it. There are others that focus, one focuses on rural community leadership, and one focuses on Indigenous learning. Another is on students that have English second language. Another focuses on progressive arts programming. One is for just women and girls education. So it's an emphasis on women and girls. They have to accept anyone. So it's interesting that I think charter schools, like I said, it's just a model. It can be used for any type of school that people want to start up, and it's empowered actually by community groups. So when you're bringing up Nova Scotia, a lot of the criticism I think that has come out of this change in how the governance structure is working in Nova Scotia schools, I think a lot of people are sort of concerned about the fact that it's become a lot more centralized. So the charter school model is an extremely decentralized model. In fact, each school has their own, each charter school authority, which can technically operate a few schools, but many of them only offer one school. They each have their own board of directors. And the whole real point of charter schools when they were introduced in Alberta, one of the main points was to very closely engage the community and closely engage parents. So there's a lot more parental involvement, community involvement in charter schools and in that model. So that's something that I think that, you know, that is a concern in Nova Scotia, that charter schools can actually help address with their decentralized model and how involved parents in the community are. If you're talking about a rural school in Nova Scotia, for example, that might be closing because of declining school enrollment. Well, in Alberta, a community group started up a specifically rural school in Alberta, and the whole charter, the whole point of the school is to focus on rural community stewardship and leadership, and it teaches those kinds of skills in addition to teaching the Alberta curriculum, and it, of course, allowed that community to keep their school. And so it's an interesting model to allow that kind of decentralized approach and more involvement from the community and parents.
Well, there's so many more questions, but no more time. Paige McPherson, as you said, you're moving back here to Nova Scotia. You're about to come to this province. Do you have children who are school-aged?
I only have one baby. He's not school-aged yet. I'm just coming off of my maternity leave, but we do, you know, moving from Alberta to Nova Scotia, parents look at these things. They look at the fact that there is so much diversity in the Alberta education system and not as much in Nova Scotia. And that shows in parental demand with enrollment going up in these charter schools. And so I think that it's an interesting model for the Nova Scotia government to consider, because it can get rid of that whole one size fits all system. We know that that's not the case in education, and it can allow a little more diversity.
Well, Paige, we'll have to get you in the studio once you're able to do so, once you're here and you're permanently located, and looking forward to having more additional conversations with you about whatever comes up.
Sounds great.